need to know about paper cuts and numbers. And of course, members would know that we drive on average about 6 years. If some people die, of course, we just gain 4 tenors of time to the same. So these are some of the legacy issues. On the service delivery side, centralized services, we have the National Association of Johannesburg. We have some service providers across the country, and we'll talk a little while about the verification of the service providers. These are general practitioners in rural areas or provincial hospitals or some of the mining hospitals, etc., that provide us some services. But generally, if you need to get a benefit medical examination, which Dr. Levy Barney gets at the moment, the benefit to do the x-rays, the lung function, and the clinical evaluation, you have to come to Johannesburg. So from the suit to Oxford United, from Molly, from the school, if you have to come to Johannesburg. So a very simple service. The other auditor activity was the fact that we were not verifying income. We have the control line that pay out levies, revenue to the fund, but we were not going and taking on what's called relationships, so we didn't have inspector. And we will talk a bit more about that. Of course, I'll talk about valuation and no audited financial statements and annual reports. Now, the critical area on the funding issue is the fact that this fund is very interesting. My counterpart in the Department of Labor, the levy covers the cost of administration, the cost of services, and the benefits. This fund, only the benefits is covered by the accommodation fund. The cost of the administration and the cost of the service delivery, providing services in Ozambique, Sutu, Amzum Pool, Bhutana, is provided by the Department of Health. And that's something that we have some ideas that hopefully the committee will support us on, as I'll talk later on about the financing of the administration. We have minimal stakeholder interactions. As a fund, we have to work with service providers, we have to work with the Chamber of Mines, we have to work with trade unions in the mining sector, we have to work with ex-mine work associations. At that stage, we have minimal interactions, but we'll again give you an update as to where we've done that. Very critical, we have no database. Remember the registry I talked about, the database is very important about the quantification of the numbers of mine workers, ex-mine workers, etc. And a surveillance system. What is happening in terms of family, TV, Chile posted, etc. We did not know what was happening in terms of this and where we are going in terms of the process. So, Chair, we have that economic achievement. So we did present previously our annual performance report, and you do have in front of you, probably will support the previous strategic plan. So the third issue we said was that we have a very old legislation, the Occupational Disease Mines and Works Act. We wanted support of this honorable committee members to help us with the amendments to that. It's a very updated legislation. It was deregionalized, but nobody looked at the infrastructure and other consequences. We must know that this activity catered for white people only and some colored people. It was deregionalized in 1993 to cover all of people that work in the mining sector. So when you move a sector that moves from 30,000 people to 2 million people, and you don't provide the resources, then it's a very problematic process. And you never said the consequences of such amendments when the act was de-age-like to a certain extent. But there are other inefficiencies in the act. Let me quote one part of that. Section 123, the minister may delegate powers. The minister, referring to the minister of health, may involve in his or her discretion, and on such conditions that he or she may deem fit, delegate in writing to the Director General or any other officer in the Department of Mines. Any power vested in him or her under this Act and at any time cancel any such delegation. Now, we know that this is not possible to delegate from Ministry of Health under, to another department or general, which is across the line. So that kind of, when I saw these versions of this Act, he just told me that there were some physical processes in honorable members that passed such a bit of amendments many years ago, and maybe it's not really successful enough. So Section 123 of the Occupational Disease Mental Workers on delegation. So we started the workshops with stakeholders, like the Chamber of Mines, the trade unions, ex-mine workers association, beneficiaries, so about the amendments there. And later on, we look at a program about when do we need to support this country and whether there will be support. For you all to see some, there needs to be substantive changes. This is one of the problems, but there's a whole lot of other issues, like there's only one director, and the director is absent, the certification function. I told you about the risk committee that's chaired by the Department of Mineral Resources, and that never functioned from 1998 to 2013. So you can't import on another department to assist you on some of these issues. We've developed a registry. So we now have our files, we previously showed you slides of what we inherited. We now have a registry that's outsourced to Metrohile and fire protection, etc. So you can now count the number of fires or payments that are coming in. So that we can be the major achievement that we have, that we know the numbers, we quantify the numbers of fires that are at the CCOG, the number of fires at the MBOG, of course, there is a big issue about the unknown group of ex-mine workers who are out there, and I'll later on talk about a massive study that we will conduct later this year with support from the Jefferson Party. We've also done a verification of records in the compensation fund, and share each time on it, I will show you some preliminary data analysis from verification of reports in terms of the compensation fund. We have stability in senior management. Our vacancy is now at 96%. We had 24% turnover. We now come to 6% of vacancy. But we need specialized children. So we took on the current organ down, we just have maybe admin staff, we need some specialized children, which I talked to. The governance committee we're functioning. There's the audit and risk committee, we have an advisory committee, we have a risk committee, and lots of internal committees like health and safety, and some of the other governance committees that are actually functioning with the organization functioning. We have an internal audit plan, albeit outsourced. It was a difficult process, but we are doing an outsourced internal test, but we now have an internal audit plan, and the internal auditors have already started working on these processes. And we've also done an assessment of our IT infrastructure and our system. We have shown that we reached the original system, which was a very easy system from the year 2000. The other achievements are that we integrated the medical care organization within the compensation fund. Now, when I came into office, these two offices were separately administered. Although they operate under one act, but they physically operated as two separate administrations, two separate activities, etc. Never talked to each other. We've now brought them under one roof. We've also paid government money. So the compensation for this activity was a private building. Now it is building owned by government. And we've got some space. And hopefully committee members will visit us at some point on one of their visits they come to join us. We also started the concept of decentralized services. Remember I talked about centralized services in Johannesburg. And last year in April, we launched the first one-stop service facility in Osaka. I'm not too sure if members have visited. We knew there was going to be an oversight visit at some stage in so that was the other site that we set up. And this year, we are planning to roll out in Kuruman and Bergesport, and then we have planned over the next couple of years. Depending on funding, we might be able to roll them out at a month later. And I'll talk later on about the one-stop service facility. We've improved stakeholder communication and communication. We are now firmly on the agenda in multiple forums about the issue of our compensation of mine workers and mine workers and the problems facing us. We work with Jefferson Partners, the World Health Organization, the International Labour Organization, the World Bank, the Global Fund for HIV, for AIDS, TB, and malaria. So there are many people that are very interested in the work we are doing, and a great group of NGOs also that are working with you. The presidency is leading a very important project on 27 distressed mining communities. And this is a very important project. It's a lead project within the Office of the President. And we are supporting, there are four initiatives under it. It's related to socio-economic development. They're using the 27 municipalities. There are 3 listening areas and 24 actual mining towns. There are 4 areas of intervention, socio-economic development, working conditions, housing, and the mining charter. And we are heavily involved in at least 3 of them because some of these are what we call social determinants of health, like housing, led by the settlements, but we also look at them. We're looking at these social economic conditions and current opportunities and working conditions that are very much part of in terms of the department, member of the social department data. So that's a very important issue, and many of them are overlapping with what we do in terms of the current and the economy. And of course, we're working with provincial departments around the neighboring country. This act, note that you, together with us, have a responsibility to mine workers not only in South Africa, but ex-mine workers, but also in 8 countries because of the migrant legacy of the migrant aid system. So we have workers, ex-workers, who are living in Mozambique, Sudan, Swaziland, Malawi, and we have to provide services to them. And those are some of the discussions that we have. So we're working with the government as well, and our minister has also quite a few meetings, or the Sabbath ministers of health, Sabbath ministers of labor, etc., some of these activities. The Pajerti may talk later on about the commercial culture because we're embedding this into the commercial plan, particularly in those provinces that are labor lending areas and those provinces that have high mining intervention to their business plan for services for mining workers. So, Chair, that's the past. Let's look at the future of Ukraine. So, firstly, we want to be part of a broader agenda that's been made by Treasury about policy and legislative changes on compensation and improve social protection system for workers in South Africa. Noting that there are multiple policy frameworks governing workers, as I pointed out in my slide. So an announced social protection system, and some of those are wage issues. The organization of the compensation system is directly under our watch and the one-stop service reform. So the reform of the compensation fund was a legislation At the moment, it's in the legislative timetable for 2016-17. We have a very busy year coming up. But if you feel that we could bring it earlier, maybe the committee could help you administer to see the 20 bills coming through this year and next year. So there's the Napi Capital, and I don't know, Dr. Anupari probably knows quite a few of the other legislative coming. So you are asked to put this in 2016-17, but we appeal to you if you have some power. We are ready with the initial draft. But we need to take it through a process in terms of, so the form of the legislation and the substantive reform that we have to do. We have to prepare for evaluation and an external audit of the fund. As you know, we are outstanding the past 2 year policy. 2010-11 we have withdrawn because of the non-acceptance of evaluating the audit. So we have to resubmit those figures to the Auditor General for the 2010-11 financial year. We have to do 11 trials, sub 30, 30, 14, and then 14-15 is almost closing. So you can see the backlog in processes, but we are planning in the next financial year to do the valuation, the preliminary draft of the tender bid is ready, which will go out in the within the first week of April, and we hope to have a valuation report at least by July, and then also in parallel we have started preparing the financial statement so that the valuation report can take up, and we've also started preparing a draft annually. The organogram, we have submitted submission to the Director General for approval of an organogram. We have to then go through a process in the next financial year to the Department of Public Service and Administration, and we are waiting that process internal to the Department of Social Media to add this on to the interest of the organogram, which talks to the data of both an administrative data, a clinical service data, as well as a specialized food data, like, you know, offering hygienists, financial persons, actually, etc., legal staff that we need to come into the organogram. Decentralized service, I'm going to talk a bit more about that. The data that can participate in our center. So I'm just comparing members to figures. So members would note that the 200,000 CCOD files at the bottom of the pyramid, that's what we've done in file verification of. If you have time, we'll give you some clearly data from that. We've got 700,000 files at the MBOD. We are seeking funding. The Chamber of Mines assisted us originally with funding to verify the CCOD files. What I mean by verification is that we took the files in order to have and let me explain the process to members. I do apologize if I take up a bit of time in that chair. If you run X work at the top of the pyramid, you then go to a service provider or to Hartenberg or to Ansata, to Nelson Mandela Clinic Hospital, you get a benefit medical examination, and that file is then sent to the Medical Bureau for occupational diseases. So that's Dr. Levy Barney's, he's the guy for the Medical Bureau. He sits as a committee and reviews the file and certifies whether the documents in front of him, the chest X-ray, the lung function, the diagnosis of scoliosis or TB or one of the enterosis, is a correct diagnosis and the documentation is correct. There's a whole range of things, including labor history, record of service, etc. So all of these things are in the file. So those things come to the MBOD, and Dr. Devani, with his certification committee, then says that this person is certified to be working on the conference of origin of disease as the source of hemochromatosis and also graded. So there are TB, which is lots of settings for TB. There are what we call grade 1, the third degree, which is between 10 and 40% where the lung function is TB plus between 10 and 40% of lung function. So they are called the first grade, in terms of the disablement of the person. And above 10% is equal to grade 2 or second degree, as we call it, in terms of this. And on average, we are paying out for lots of energy for TB, about between 500 to 3,500, $3,000 on average for grade, for the third degree, we pay out around 40,000 rand. On an average for the second degree, we can be 18,000 rand. Of course, there's a range in terms of the activity. So from the MBOD, after Dr. Levy Barney's team 35, we then come to the commission for payment. And that's the process. So it's quite an elaborate process. And one of the issues when we just have the indicators later on, we are looking at new claims on the 1st of April having a 3 month turnaround time as opposed to the legacy problem, which we could come to later on about the issue. So it's quite an elaborate process. But there's a certification issue there in terms of the verification. So what we've done is taken the files, and we are now looking into the files to see what records are missing. Why are these files stuck over the last number of years in terms of not going to the certification committee in terms of all of these processes? That's a verification we want to do of the 700,000 files. Now the big issue for us is quantifying the number of X workers, and that's some of the work we want to do later on in terms of a database that we want to set up and start getting to just with some of the exported issues. And of course, the current mining orders, there are 500,000 people that work in the mining sector currently, but we only control 246 mining. So we have to look at that subset. Unless the committee possibly you could talk to your counterpart in the Commonwealth in the mineral resources portfolio properties, maybe the issue is about UVM and then make all mining control, which is a request that we were making historically, which is probably something that maybe a joint committee could talk about. The sustainability of the fund is linked to the issues around the revenue collection. The inspectors, we now have a funding inspectors in place, both the financial inspectors as well as health inspectors because of the risk assessment. And these inspectors have been going out. In health inspectors, we support them by the global fund. Within 3 years, we have to absorb them within the budget of the COD. But they have done tremendous amount of work in the budget. We'll talk later on about the data we have for the inspections that we run of these 200. We've not reached all of them yet. You see in your indicated table that we've already done a service. All these mines take us 2 days to actually reach them. And then the alarm mines, we spend a full day assessing them, etc. But we've begun to start looking at the verification. We will be preparing for the valuation of the fund. And then there's a discussion about the basic fund. So the sustainable fund is very high on our agenda in finding the evaluation and talking issue around the inspections in mind to verify the research. And of course, working with stakeholders. So, for the interventions in the database, this is on our, we're going to work out, in fact, we have a workshop starting next week, so on Monday, Tuesday, where we're going to look at the database, the IT infrastructure, and the system, so that we can bring everybody into the system and then start building a surveillance model based on the database. We feel that this is very important. We have looked at some other databases, but we discovered that for various reasons, many of our people were not covered in the databases because they were contract workers, they were not permanent workers because of migrancy, etc., etc. And remember the issues with occupational diseases, so I remember these diseases come up 10 to 20 years after you probably left employment, or you know, if you started at 20, it comes up around 40 to 50 years of age, so it's part of the issue around the database. Mapping studies, I'm going to give you an example of mapping studies, so this is the example of a mapping study that we've done with support from the World Bank, which tells us mine water statistics, and you can look at some of the statistics. So we want to do a similar study for X mine water and begin to start building the database in terms of this work. So this we just want to do the kick out here and begin to see where the mine water are and the algae to be. But of course, not that this is all mine water, we want to start having out the process of control mining within this. We are looking at the services because we want to link some of our decentralized service models to where the country is coming from. And surveillance, as you know, our minister together with Honorable Deputy President, we had a TV day yesterday where they did a major launch of this meeting and brought in our first State of the Nation address about vulnerable populations and mine workers and selected heavy mining communities and launched one yesterday. And we'll be doing a proper planning mission of all approximately 500,000 mine workers in this financial year and then model for active case for case finding and follow-up, etc. So the surveillance system for TV and telephone is very high on our agenda as a big process. So some of the other interventions, when you look at our indicators, you'll see that there's a legacy problem as I pointed out about the outstanding claim. We think that there are about 100,000 claims in the CCOD that ought to be paid that haven't been paid out of the 200,000 files. About 50% have not been paid from the verification side. And remember I talked about the 700,000 files in the NDOD that are still awaiting certification. So that's what we're calling about outstanding claims. And over a 4-year period, unless we get substantive resources coming in, Honorable Chair, we are hoping to clear that backlog. But if we can fast track substantive resources in our IT infrastructure, our legacy fund, etc., then we might be able to move that into a public period. For new claims, we agreed with management and the minister and to Dr. Anthony, who we report to, and the EG that new claims for the 1st of April will have a turnaround time of 3 months provided all documentation is in place. Although it's an elaborate process of coming to the NDOD, then going to the CCOD, but we are promising that we'll try within 3 months of new claims from the 1st of April. So that one we indicated that is the ADP. We started a verification of the service provider in line with the Public Finance Management Act approval, contracts and service level agreements. We had problems in terms of submission of non-function, submission of documents, submission of check x-rays, and there have been problems about the quality of some of these services. So Dr. Ledimani and Ms. Padjeti have been on the ground, strictly visiting and addressing meetings of private providers about the quality assurance standards that we want to put in place to improve the services to the ex-mine workers and sub-mine workers. The submission of the new funding framework. We want to put in a submission to Treasury. Chair, it was a very difficult process originally when the minister was concerned about what does he do about this fund, because of the years of neglect, which we admit that we have neglected this fund and the services it provides to people who help to look after this economy. Originally on an outsourced model with Treasury, there was a model that they might pay up to 10% of the administration charges to an outsourced model. On the in-source model, currently we are functioning off the government. We work within the state structures. Currently I have a budget of 2% of fund value. So I'm given a budget of 58 million to manage a budget, to manage a fund value of 2.9 million. Now remember that the 58 million has to cover the services. And I spoke about Shashai, Mosby, Lesotho, Anzimfulu. So we have to deliver the services. We have to provide the input cost, we have to provide the infrastructure. Out of 58 million, I can't provide that for us. So at the minimum, we are asking for a new model. We want to say to this committee, and then submission by the minister to Treasury, to say, could we use the investment income? Because we currently are invested in the bank. So we're not playing around in any, we strictly stick to the bank sector and the major banks in the country. We want to say that could we use the investment income in the short term, while we are looking at the future of the fund, to actually use this to build up the administrative capacity of the fund. So that's something hopefully as a resolution maybe you'll have to in terms of the model for moving forward. We raised, I think, in the region of what, 100 million to 150 million a year in investment income. And we feel that this might be a startup for the short term. We also want to ask the committee to support us in terms of a new governance framework for the modernization fund and the LBOD, but I'm specifically into the CTOD here, to go for what's called a government component. We don't feel that we need to go to public entity or one of the schedules under the TSMA in terms of the processes facing public entities or state enterprise or state-owned enterprises. But we feel we need much more delegated powers in terms of how we deal with staffing, how we deal with infrastructure, etc. And one of the issues is we're under discussions right now with Dr. Pillay and the Director General about possibilities are moving towards the government component. So that means you still within the state structure, there are examples like the Government Pensions Administration Agency, GPA, which deals with pensions for the civil service as a government agency. So there are other groupings as a government component. So that's some of the things that we want to get in the short term. The one-stop service framework, Honourable Chair, these are some of the things that are envisaged to be within a one-stop service framework. We've not managed to do all of it, but some of it is actually functioning. The medical examination, the support of the post-mortem, the rehabilitation assessment and services. There's a fund called the Land Mutual Assurance, which is licensed under FIRA, under the Department of Labor, the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Disease Act. They provide for injuries to mine workers, like paraplegics, quadriplegics, if they have amputated limbs, etc. We want to work closely with them about rehabilitation services. This is very difficult if we look after the arts and lungs of mine workers and ex-mine workers, and another fund looks after the limbs and heads of mine workers. It gets complicated for mine workers. So we feel we can do this. If we pick up instances where a quadriplegic mine worker is taken from the Eastern Cape all the way to Johannesburg for services under Rand Mutual, whereas there's Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital, the one-stop service facility, where we could actually work together to provide physical therapy, occupational therapy, etc. So again, we would encourage committee members to probably support us with this. It may mean a discussion with the Department of Labor Portfolio Committee, which oversees the FIRA. The social services, we did mention last time that in focus group discussions that we had in 2013-14, particularly in the Eastern Cape, many families told us, and I think you read in the last couple of weeks about the mass grave in Punjab, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Lesotho, in a place up the south coast of Durban. And many people have told us similar stories of families who have lost sons and fathers. They never know where they are buried somewhere in Johannesburg. And they want closure on this for various reasons, social custody, etc. So we thought that may be something that we need to start stimulating and having some discussions on, etc. And then you know the other big issues that there are figures mentioned of between 1 to 5 billion rand in locked funds that ex-mine workers have not been able to access, pension fund, provident fund, etc., for tracking and tracing. And we feel we need to come together and work together. In fact, there's a workshop over the next few days in Johannesburg. We'll be presenting at the Southern Africa Trust. He's hosting a workshop on possibility of benefit to mine workers and how do we start coming together about tracking and tracing. Rather than UIF going after the mine workers, Department of going after the mine workers, Anglo-American pension fund looking after the mine workers, etc. How do we start coming together and some new models for tracking and tracing? So the one-stop service site, as I told you, we opened the Eastern Cape and Carlton Group last year in April to To date, we've seen about 3,000 people is now overrun. It actually needs many more sites in the Eastern Cape. 3,000 ex mangroves that have been seen in the Eastern Cape since April last year. And in Carltonville, we've seen about 1,500. We are hoping to open up two new sites this year. We've begun preliminary discussions with the Provincial Department of Health of Northern Cape about the Furuman site, and we are going to start with Limpopo, and we see our annual financial plans. Annual performance plan takes us to open financial year. We are looking at mobile services. These are fixed sites. We are also looking at mobile services for the extent of supplement. And there's been a very strong case from ministers of health of the neighboring country, Honduras, Swaziland, Lesotho, etc., Botswana, in terms of, in fact, the Botswana diplomatic corps, they visited with us recently in Carltonville, and they loved the concept and the model, and they feel that we should set up a similar one in their own. And of course, we are now mobilizing funds for this. We have support from the chain of mines. There is some good working relationships with particular gold mining companies. So I think people are beginning to find each other as we go forward. And we work very closely with the Department of Mineral Resources in some of these activities. So sustainability, we have to look at the valuation of the annual report. I said that in this next financial year, we'll be preparing for the valuation and the audit. The inspections and verifications have taken off. We've had some pushback from some of the mining companies, but they feel that the Department of Mineral Resources is inspecting them, now the Department of Health is inspecting them, but we said that we need to actually move on. It's unfortunately a requirement of my act to look at these risks and verification of risk shares. We are very keen on developing a legacy fund because there's a big issue around, we're talking about 1 million to 1.5 million ex-mine workers, and as we send services and start finding people and finding that they've got disease, then we have to start providing care and support for them, and the fund may not be able to bear that liability. So that's one of the issues that we do with the database. And lastly, the changes to the levy that will need both the administrative changes to cover the administration and service costs. So, here in my concluding slides, this is the compensation fund. This is just what we are paying. This is the fund and what we pay. So it's a 2.9 billion rand fund, but this is what we collect. We collect around 400 million a year in revenue. We have some, as we inspect the mines as well, we want to pick up mines that haven't paid. So Ms. Padetti might talk to some of the members are interested in, and we've gone back now and put in a fairly strong invoices and statements of demand on it. We're spending about 165 million. These are payments to ex-mine workers, or I told you, TV, third degree, second degree, etc., very close to three, etc. But we want to use that opportunity. The Eastern Cape project is now almost in concluding stages. There was a special project for Eastern Cape that we need to find stages of closing up. But this is some of the essentials. That on the old act, we know what our pension is in our country, we pay lump sum payments. So this is from the state economic data. We came on average 132 million, 134 million. If we saw the backlog, then we'd have to bring that up much higher. We'd have to revise those amounts in terms of the payments. This is the budget from the Department of Health to support us for the fund. This is where I talked about that I have 58 million in the 2015 financial year. So the people around the table are paid for out of the compensation of employees, for example. The fund is not paying that. So the fund only the financial. The provision of medical services, chest x-ray, lung function. If you're a current mine worker, it has to be foregone by the company. But if you're an ex-mine worker, then this committee has to get out money through the budget, through Minister Australia's budget. And that's the amount we have, and it's far from. That's why we want to look at new funding frameworks and possibly a discussion with Treasury. And maybe the committee might help us to also talk to Treasury officers. Okay, we have some difficulties. We're going to start Russian climate workshops. It's a major change, in fact, to say to our staff on the ground that the Baku Peeling Principle has to apply, people first. And we're going to embark on a series of Russian climate change workshops. We have very good support from our colleagues in Carltonville and Akhata. We're beginning to show a new framework about how we can deliver services to our people. Administrative, there's been substantive recruitment. It takes us about 6 months to fill posts within my section. Fidelity virtually has a camp at Intervisa. We are breaking down it. Head office is in Victoria, so we virtually have a camp. Takes a long time to get through the capital work program. There is support, but sometimes there are higgling processes. We don't want to fault any supply chain and other administrative processes, but that's why we want to get the government component about how we can tackle things much more closely to the ground. I talked about the need for specialized staff. The IT infrastructure, we need about 16 million rand to revamp the IT infrastructure. Remember, it's not just about the database. It's about digital x-rays from Shanghai in Mozambique, Amdumkur, being sent to us through what we call telehealth links to be ready to the lung functions. These are all electronic chairs. and you can actually send these documents to whoever is on the documentation. So it provides IT infrastructure that covers the database, the registry, the payment, and electronic transfer records. So it's quite a complex model. The infrastructure for the one-stop service side, at the moment we've had some partnerships with the Chamber of Mines providing some funding, but we need to move ahead and ultimately just have budgets within the provincial government. Thank you, and I hope I've managed to summarize a very complex model in terms of structure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I just want to check do you want us to continue or do you still have some questions? Because I'm not going to see what the Indian said, the other issues that I'm thinking to be in there. So I think that's the hand.
To you, Chair, we do have the ATP presentation, and then if members would want that, then I could take that with you.
That's the feeling that you're making, that it needs to continue with the ATP.
male or female, and our constitution actually provides for that. But we just found that he was an administrative member. So Clark was telling us that maybe that was the reason. Certificate of compensation. So remember I explained all the process that somebody comes into a medical examination, then gets to the MBOD, second high committee, then comes to the commissioner. That's the seal of office process. So when you don't have a certificate present for 11% of the claimant, then that's a problem for us. Those were the queries that Auditor General had originally, that he couldn't find documents were missing, records were missing, etc. So those are some things that we can clarify. Of course, these records go back from 1960, so it goes back a long time, maybe things fell out of the file, etc. And then ID is very important, identity document. There are some issues around passports. Many of our workers are from neighboring countries, so they come to passports. So maybe these are some issues. And then a very archaic fingerprint system, where we use a magnifying glass. So we want to leave them that. We do 8 a day by CT for 25. Now you can't get fingerprints in a, I'm sure, currently now a biometric on the chair where you use your hands and fingers to go in. But we have a system where we also look at the fingerprints. So we can't take that to the school software. Payment stages. So this is very important. 50% of the things that have to be paid and 50% paid. So that's the issue to encourage the tracking and tracing that we want to use. And then the issue around proof of payment in the file, which is one part of this. Fingerprints. We ran our database against the TEBA database, and it's showing some discrepancies in the sense that TEBA is only about a third of the record or a quarter of the record we found in the TEBA database instead of a quarter of seven. So we might, that's why one of the issues we talked about the database, that there might be other databases out there like TEBA, etc., but it may not be helping us as much as we think it might help us. So one of the issues was to set up our new database and look at some new models for and other records, etc. Especially the suggestions, we work quite closely with the Department of Homelessness, for example, about linkages to their systems, which are the systems and their population that they say. We have to get models for outside the country in terms of what models are there for the needs to come to solidarity. So the annual performance plan, so I told you all that's an archaic act and issues, we have some drafts, and we want to engage with you about that. We definitely want to engage with the Department of Memory for the data, and you might help us with engaging the support committee. We are engaging with departmental officials in all the activities, and I talk about engagement about the department. Governance and management, clarification of the status of the fund. This was raised last about the training account. So that we want to clarify in the state code. The service I talked about within our staff, particularly the SIMS code, the funding of the administration steps and benefits, and then particular recruitment this year will be about the chief director finance being recruited, because that's a very problematic area of work for us at the moment in terms of financial statement and financial report and the recruitment in the database, etc. The one for services, we've had very positive feedback, and we've begun the engagement with Northern Cape, so hopefully you'll be part of our ceremonial activities to come and help us with the Kurumak facility probably in the third quarter of this year. We'll be working towards opening that facility. On the box, this is we started to secure the capital infrastructure and we discussed the current cost of the Northern Cape Department of Health. We're working very closely with the World Bank, World Health Organization, International Labour Organization, forum and particularly NGOs in terms of support for some of the activities and the state of mining and particularly the gold mining houses. Now the legacy project I talked about is about the funding that we need to have. The country the fund is on 2.9 billion. Once we do the proper valuation of the fund, it might be much higher. We then have to work out how do we actually take this process forward. And hopefully the discussions with the Chamber of Mines will be on a much more positive note. In fact, on Monday this week, our minister and myself, together with officers of the government, with chief executives from the gold mining company. It was a very productive meeting. The members would recall that in 2010, the Chamber of Mines took up to court. So I recorded this in the stress that the court case where they lost the government. They were opposing us to raise the levy in terms of the compensation fund. We hope that it's a much more proactive and coming together process as opposed to fighting in a legal system. A legacy problem that essentially the mining has to cause and the state has to become the test. So hopefully there'll be a process where we don't go to a legal process, but let this positively about the legacy fund. I talked about the turnaround time for new applications in terms of that indicator in the plan. And then of course the 100% collection of levies from the control of the mines and works. Or if the committee agrees, I can convince our members in the portfolio committee of members of resources My view is that all mines in the world should be proposed in South Africa, but that's a discussion that we need to have moved to that 1,700, 1,800 entities are proposed to just the 200. Of course, this decision will be perfected, but that is a discussion that, that we could have with the region. And increasing the number of inspector mining in the world, again, if we have more resources, we can take everything up. But at the moment, we have 9 health inspectors and 13 about 5 financial inspectors. So, and you know, the mining power factor. We're preparing for the evaluation and the audit and the report, and some of these will come to your committee. Hopefully, Chairperson, if all those funds plan, at least we should be having the 10-11-11 trial reports with you all by the last part of the year, depending on what the audit and Chairperson is going to instead of putting this forward. Monitoring, very important. You provided oversight. We come to you at various times when you request us to come to Parliament. But we have a strategic plan and annual performance plan. Previously, my predecessors did not have this. This was one of the audit findings that we did. There are monthly meetings of the audit and risk committee, which we meet with. I have our own audit and risk committee, which is separate from the National Department of Health Audit and Risk Committee. We have meetings of the advice committee, which has trade union representatives, Chamber of Mines, the employer representatives, ISTA, the Metal Workers Union, NUMSA, as well as the solidarity, et cetera, on the advice committee, as well as the employing body for steel and engineering federation. We submit quarterly reports to Dr. Anvil Polisection and the Performance Monitoring Director within the department. We also submit reports to Treasury, and we meet with Treasury on a quarterly basis as well, and report reports to yourself whenever you request something. So, Chair, hopefully I was not too fast, not too slow, but that's where we are with some of the more in-depth reports. Thanks very much, Chair and Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chair. We would love to open for
No, thanks, and thanks very much for this presentation. I really sympathize with you, given the challenges that you are experiencing. But I have to do my way of holding you accountable. Now, Chair, page 2 of the strategic document. Therefore, with my minister, paragraph number 2, it refers to deficiencies in the compensation, fund administration, and I think you will be able to touch a little bit on that area, you know, on how we have not been able to meet the expectations of accounting to with regards to financial auditor statements and so on. But what is not kind of very clear is how you intend to correct the situation with a clear program of action. It's not that I'm kind of very clear to say this is a program of action that we have put in place to correct the situation. That's point number one. Point number 2, on page 7, and French policy initiative. The same situation, you are not explaining to us how you are intending or what programs, outreach programs do you have to make sure that you reach out to all the areas in South Africa, plus those that are outside the families of South Africa, in outside the areas. I know you have highlighted the Soto and all this, but there is not a program of action to say this how we intend to reach out to all those people that we cannot trace to, whatever system we have, and so on and so forth, you know. And there might be a lot of miners and ex-miners, in particular ex-miners. In this area, so in your transit area, in the Eastern Cape in particular, and in your efficiency countries and so on. So there's not a problem there. On page 8, quickly there, on page 8, and a pensioners. Can't clarify that particular paragraph, because it seems to me that it's confusing. There is no provision for pensioners in the current Act, and yet there are no additional pensioners. dann innerhalb der generellen Beziehungen ändert. So was dann ist confusing. It's not actually clear. So what is it that you are in fact saying? You know, if you can do that, I think it would be necessary. Page 10, under audit findings. Under audit findings, you are giving us your overall turnaround strategy in relation to these issues that you that have been raised. It's not having a very good day. This is the audit findings. This is why the audit has generally said and so on and so forth. And this is our program of action. This is how we need to turn the situation around and so on. I've tried to look at the I might have missed it, you know, in your APP and so on and so forth, but it's not actually coming out very clearly. On page 11, that part of the table there, the distribution of posts and so on and so forth. You're not also indicating to us, what is the difficulty? You say, well, the COD capacitated at 94%. There are many, these are many administrative posts. And for you to be able to achieve your overall objective of why you exist, you need to have strategic posts. And people are very strategic in making sure that you achieve those particular objectives. So you're not saying that there are the schedules in the Republic, you're sitting tight overseas to recruit, and so on and so forth. You're not telling us the difficulty in accepting this, or where maybe the problem is that there's lack of funding, and so on. So it's not actually coming out very clear. You are just presenting it as it is. If I can just quickly check that the annual performance plan, my approach, page 9. On the strategic plan, the APP, sorry, under the APP. If I may start with, page 8. If I may start with page 8. This particular strategic objective number one, in fact, for me today, is the most important aspect of your area of operation. Why are you dressing up until 2020? You said by 2020 you would have developed a legislation. But when you go to page 9, under your quarterly target, you are telling us that by the last quarter of 2015-2016, you have achieved this thing. For me, the contradiction, but also. And then, for us, is the most important aspect of your area in terms of the issue that you said you wanted to amend the legislation and so on and so forth. And then the last one is. In your intention to amend the legislation, in your intention to amend the legislation, are you of the view in your own analysis? Because we have not had the opportunity to look at the, and I think we raised this issue last year. Whether in your engagement with the Department of Health, do you think you are at a stage where we are ready to collapse these two regions, the Quaeda and your area, and bring one legislative regime for the Republic of South Africa with relation to issues of compensation of all records across all sectors, because this has been differentiating between miners and your other workers in the sector. You know, is that your view there? And then the last issue check is that how much are you paying TERRA? How much are you paying TERRA for you to get information from them of all lines? That's my last question for now, check. Thank you. I want to give other members the information. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. It's a mountain to climb, and of course, since Muhammad won't go to the mountain, won't go to Muhammad must go to the mountain. So he did. And who gets confused? Because the supporter is confused. There's a lot of things that need to be done, cannot done, and they have to be done. And some of them are the starting point of having your house in order. In the first place, you are merely operating with less than a quarter of the money. And you want to compensate, you still are dealing with compensation of mine and minus and everything. Meanwhile, only one less than a quarter of those minds are controlled. So, I mean, you haven't even started with half of the job that you're supposed to be doing, but you're overwhelmed with only a quarter of what you're supposed to be doing. Less than a quarter. So that's why it's a mountain to climb. And you need money, and there is money, lots of money in this hardship. If they contribute, so much money will be given money to other entities. But you haven't yet found a way of making sure that you give what they give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So there is a little bit of contradiction here that one money to do this, but there is a lot of money you don't know how to get. And so once you can get to that hurdle, over that hurdle, you will be having all the resources you need. And okay, the question of records, were, I don't know if the record of the quarter of the controlled mines or the record of all the mines, and even the those mines and all sorts of things, but that you need to sort that one out. Of course, the other anomaly of the situation is that we are dealing with TB and maybe, what is it, TB and crisis and other things. Those are the things you are doing. What about orthopedic? Orthopedic, most mind, the problems in the mind which rock falls, they break their skulls and their legs and their arms. You don't deal with that, I don't know. There is syphilis, there is AIDS now, and all sorts of things, but they are dealing only with two medical conditions, the lungs and the TB part of the lung. You expect TB to be in the lung. If it's in the bones, you don't deal with it. You deal with what that is in the lung, and so on and so on. That, you see, you can see that it's a mess up. You can't be helped to sort this up in a way that it should be. Now, if you were coming with something compartmentalized and in order, then we say, okay, what do you want us to do? Of course, legislation here will be much, I want going to ask the question, how long have you been in this game? Before I even went, but I decided, no, that would be presumptuous. I shouldn't ask that question. Because if you have been long in this game, then you have been playing by different rules. Then you have to control or change the rules and make them user-friendly so that you can be able to achieve your goals. The rest is just administrative. You have to get administrators help you. ICT and all sorts of things, but without the necessary rules, how do you play this game? So those are some of the things that you need to prioritize so that next year we don't sit down and talk about the same thing again. I think last year we talked about these mines, that they should all be paid, should be controlled, and you have to find which ones are not paid. And this year we are talking the same thing again. The same thing about what type of diseases or what type of conditions are you dealing with. We talked about them last year. We're still talking about them today. That I don't want to get into. We have to get the priorities right first. Then the rest will be followed. Thank you.
Okay.
No, thanks. Welcome the presentation by the commission. Just a few clarifying questions as we should import the presentation of the strategic plans and ATP. Well, under the strategic plan, the situation analysis on page 9, and it has been so just to clarify, why the failure to finalize the annual report is only the 2010. It doesn't say it's from the 2010. It creates an impression. what is the rest? And the understanding is that since that time, the situation analysis that it is failed, we failed to produce the annual report. And as the reason is the same for each financial year, or they differ from one financial year to the next. Because you're saying between the 10 and 11, you cannot finalize it because of the non-acceptance of the actuarial evaluation outcome by the advisory committee. Is that the same reason for 11, 12, 12 to 18, 14, 15? And if that is the same reason throughout, why is it not being attended to since then? And what is it that you are then putting in place to make sure that that method is also available? And then under organizational environment, the issue that comes to one of the on page, I want to read it differently. In the presentation, you're saying you're 26%. Initially, at some point was 26%. Now it's 6%. Means there's an improvement. But you are still complaining that not that 6% vacancy rate is not an accurate one because those are dominantly filled with the administrative staff. And when you look at the current structures, that's only 3 years. And those three are still administrative staff. Which means if you fill these three, you're 100%, but those are not specialized posts. So if you need to fill the position, 100%, you have a percent, but you still don't have specialized positions. And you're not telling us, therefore, because this is a 5-year strategic plan, you're not telling us, therefore, that is the way in order to move forward. What is it in terms of the organization environment that you need in the next coming 5 years? Different from what exists now. So that you are able then to get the specialized people. Because even if you can give them money tomorrow, they are not going to do anything that much because your structure doesn't allow you to employ any specialized. And in the 5-year strategic plan, we are not reflecting that in order to address this organizational environment, you will need a structure that is different from this one, and this is how the correct structure looks like. So that we then understand that moving forward in the next coming 5 years, this is what we must expect in terms of the organizational environment. But at that 5-year strategic plan, except in the somewhere in the end on page 70 where you're saying you will require the new treasurer funding model for sourcing for to approve a new organizational structure. Somewhere under mitigation factors. But it's not part of an organizational environment approach that you want to see in the next coming 5 years. Like when anybody is reading it, we'll have to find it somewhere in the end. And it's not included in the organization environment. But that's one just observation. The clarity in relation to that is so that we're able to understand whether there is a process that is aimed at changing the situation. And then coming to the EPP, the budget, because you are an entity, not an entity. You are a cluster within the department. Therefore, it means the budget, your budget is approved within the context of the national budget, if I'm correct. And then you have got this fund. I'm not sure where it's located in terms of exactly how much. Are we requested to approve on the fund itself? beyond the what I see on the six, there is 171.9. I think that helps me. That's 2015-2016. The median term. 171, 175, 185. This is, it does it include the fund or it excludes the fund? Because you talk of 2 billion. There you talk of 8 million in the presentation. Can you clarify the difference? 68 million on one side, 2 billion, 171.9 million. And what is it that you want us to approve then? So that for the clarity, what is it that you are approving? When you go to Parliament, what is it that you are going to present in to say, this is what is being approved, that the Parliament must approve? So that for the clarity, because I was looking, I'm not sure what is it that you would be saying to Parliament. We need to go and present it and approve what the 68 million rand, which is included to you, my understanding is included in the 36 million rand. Some odd to this being under this particular. And then the CA is 121 million in the APT. I'm not sure what is it. And then you spoke of 2 billion that are mentioned. How do you look at this fact together and then know exactly what is that document to say what is it? And then why is it going to take you so many years to establish this one-stop service center? I thought that we have established two, we have seen how best to establish them, and because of the challenges that you explained, the next financial years you have mastered the way how to deal with it and then create more. Is it because of finances or what? That's a crisis around that matter. Well, I don't see why each year you want to create two. Each year two. Why the need there and the challenges are so great in such extent. And how are you dealing with, because I'm looking at your slide 4 on the APT. Outside South Africa, the biggest numbers are in Lesotho, Mozambique, Botswana, and Zambia. It's in thousands. How are you dealing with that? So there are no one-stop centers that you are creating in those countries. You are creating one-stop centers in provinces for the numbers that belong to South Africa in particular. But there are these big numbers that belong to the other neighboring countries, especially the four. How are you going to be covering those and make sure that you face them? Because they're so huge, those numbers. And then the other issue on that one stop center, you only mention service center. You're saying if it is not very key, then but you'll be establishing two, not very key. I'm not sure, you said it in late with the Northern Cape Department of Health, but it's under that word service center. It's for that purpose. And what is happening with people? Because you're not saying anything about that. Means you're not yet engaged now. Or still going to engage them. What is the situation of that in relation to that? Because it's not very clear why only the Northern Cape was engaged, but the Popo is no indication whether it has been engaged or what. And then last question. No, before the last one. The legislative process that the Honourable Chairman. This year, the whole of this year, you will only be busy with the consultation. That's what you're saying. Because in your fourth quarter, you're saying you'll be finalizing the consultation. And then next year you'll start the process of legislation, which will take you until 2019. Why is it a long time? Well, I thought you knew the problem already. And because you're saying the reason why you want to make this amendment is because it's an hindrance to the realization of this work. But you want to take it a very long time, almost 5 years, to come up with a legislation or an amendment or an integrated legislation. Why is it like that? Why is it you still don't know your problem, still want to determine the problem? Is that the understanding? Well, I understood that you know the problem. That's why you're talking of legislation. Because you've already made an assessment, you've made the research, you've collected the data and information, and you, in the process of the implementation, you then realize that there is a gap in the research. And therefore you need to close that gap. So why has it to take 5 years for you to do it? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to understand what is the backdrop of the beneficiary total. And out of the 10,000 already enough, I said 350 gets compensated on a monthly basis. What do you think this will give to this economic stage? It will take forever, and whatever time frame that you set itself up, goes up with the department. And just one last thing, much about the TEPA register. And I think we emphasize the importance of getting that register by the department for, proper can happen. And also I think you highlighted the fact that people get their views because they don't get how to job, so the bogus companies that operate on behalf of the petition, which at the end of the day the petition end up with nothing compared to what they should get.
The inspector, would appreciate if you can give us the actual number of your inspectors and the skills that they are having. I'm taking this point that different inspectors can engage in the context. Secondly, why is it that the one-stop shop, shouldn't hear you mentioning was the border, for example, Free State border, Minnesota. Just the logic. Free State border, Minnesota. Northwest border, Botswana. And Northwest is one of those places. That's where the mining hub is. What is not important that you have or you mentioned those. I will understand why the extensive among the majority of my workers are coming from the extensive majority of people that are staying in Northwest are coming from the extensive also in the other countries. But I still want to understand because how within the context that would it not be easier once you're still trying to generate funds and work with those countries? And before I talk about why the countries want us as South Africa to form them, why don't they say we will collaborate with you? But back to the question, because if it is closer, it is Lesotho and Botswana with the countries that are involved in our product, selling the borders, it will be much easier once you're still generating the funds to have those ones. So those you were. Is it because that many departments that are involved with it, that you are here with us, and the other one is? From 1994. I've never been in the family of state, but I know for the fact that we have some challenges of the system. I just want to rephrase my question, because you can't be dependent on IT whilst you are still wanting yes to myself in a state of the art IT. But our people in the rural areas, the township, they're not able to get their claims. It is too hard to get in terms, you know, just ask a simple question. Is it too hard to get in terms to ask if you want to bank? We have a number of graduates that are being employed in this country. I'm asking that question, ladies and gentlemen, because this government is being blamed, in my view, on issues that make us understand that, in fact, and by then I said, we are going to visit you, we will look into this, but in the center, if the Department of Health, with all the challenges that they're having in terms of funding and ever, they are able to work in terms to assist whilst they are looking into processes of having state-of-the-art IT, and whilst there is manual work that is being done, don't you think that you are to go back and as a commission, you must rethink about this so that you are able to make up and have a look at this, because our people are being confused. I'm saying this for the second time. Our people are vulnerable. Whoever wants to create a confusion to them, people that are telling that there is 50 million that is a pressure, maybe 50 million I'm exaggerating, we know for a fact that there are people that are doing that. Now, if you are still trying more academical and more administrative, don't you think that there are areas, there are issues that you can even go to treasure and say, if we want to change the constitutional conditions of our people, if we want to give people what is transferable to us, we want to be allowed at least to bring in our system X number of intent to address with this issue of compiling and all the areas that you are complaining about. Because these things are going to take years whilst things are people are pressing. Other question, I don't know, we would have appreciated if we had really a detailed report on the challenges and experiences, the good work, except to say numbers. Now we were at least making examples in Chaka, now we are in Canada and say no. We don't need that. We want educated information. As in Chaka, these are the challenges, these are the people that have come. We are able to trace because there is no IT, these are the people. Because if the Cape government, how can government is also to assist you, not only your babies. Tell me if I'm wrong. It is not only your baby, it is the baby of all, including up to municipalities, including up to the chiefs. Now, don't give us only figures. You may not be hearing that now. I just want to put it in front of you. We are going to, when we come back in the next quarter of the day, we want that information. You take information on both sides. What are the challenges? Are people coming to the fore? Are other relatives, traceable? What is the names? Not only to say that people receive the money, which I do think that the issue of joint portfolio is really going to affect, but as people that are part of that center, those that need to get work, give us a detail. I think we need that more than before. I'm a bit confused. Maybe the issue that is confusing me is this 2020, you say you would be doing X at a particular time. If you go to page 15 of the the cost of it is carried by the maintenance vendor and commission. Why is it set commission? Why is it that mining has to donate? If somebody is to donate, you donate for everything. You can donate 20 lines, you can donate 20 million, you can donate 8 billion. Why is it carried a donation? I just want to just put across to you without asking any questions. Give us the detail of your outreach. I know you have invited us. You may have failed in that. But give us the detail of that outreach. Well, I know for a fact the kingdom's done. I'm not quite sure of that, but I know the spirit behind the provincial office. They are people that are called by somebody. They will always take in a decision for them. Have you reached those? Are you able to identify? So that's why the detail. So that's why we're able to understand. Because we know that there are parties, that are political parties and political who are creating the confusion. But we can't say because we are assuming, because I'm saying in the interview, I'm told X goes to those. Everyone that has done the outreach, what are those people saying? The last comment, and it's not a personal question, that you are more administrative. You are more dealing with administration. Maybe it's the same question that you're not proactive. You're not coming forth frequently to assess. We are raising these questions, painful, maybe hard, it's because we understand the situation that our people. And TB, honorable minister, is correct. TB is not only the land, it's fine. Boom. Right. So, is it because, goodness, is it because there are a number of other conversations that are only focusing on TB does not only affect land, it affects all our organs. So, make us to understand, in this year, of the people of China, as the ones by the president. There are things that we have to take difference. We have to partner. That's why I was saying, tell us if we're unfair. No. But we will be. We will ask those difficult questions to you, and we will expect a response. Yes, in this time around, it's quite better than last time, but I want to make a proposal. As you will be sorting yourself out, trying to say we're going to respond, what maybe we want to get some consultation, but in the, as I said upfront, that the detailed information about what is happening in the center and whatever, we want that when we come back in the next order. You can send it to the office of the chair, it is fine. But others, just rearrange yourself, we're going to answer what was. I don't want you to appear as if you are trans. So we have, before that, one hand.
The other questions that I wanted to ask you to ask. There is one paragraph to ask, actually, it's not in the presentation. If you allow me, Chair. We talk about the compensation for the pension. I would like to know for the miners, when they come to work, they leave families, other both families there at the mines where they work. I would like to know what happens to these families, what compensation do they get? Because when these people go back, they are sick. And their families, they have to look after them, they have to take care of them. And take care of them without having been compensated. So what does COD have in place for those families in there? And they have children, they have wives, we must look after them. So what happens to them, and even if they are not paid out, and they die before they get compensated, what happens to the funds? Is it given over to the family, or does it just disappear? What happens to it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable. I suggest that you use that in page 8, 9 of page 18, the summary of tuberculosis benefits are in the form of reinvestment, of loss of earnings incurred during tuberculosis for a maximum. You are not doing that, I missed it, is it? But other people are ordered, getting ordered off due to what happens, to them. So that is pretty much fine, and then we can pick up them after. Thank you.
We have 10 questions. On the motion to let them let the convention. What if MDR came in for 2 years treatment? What if it's a presentation? But also, if you want to come to the telephone for 6 months, or if I'm talking to 2 years of statistics, you can.
Yes,
Captain, is comfortable to have the case if you have to.
becoming an immunity act. So we welcome that position. But I want to deal with your sort of second last comment first, which is the issue of our boots on the ground versus administration. I don't think it's an unfair question. I think that for the members around the table, maybe they see nothing in which lies. When we are administering this act of legislation, it is an administrative process. And it's quite a complex administrative process. But I must tell our members that people like us around the table come from a background of boots on the ground. At a personal level, I'm one of those that have actually been working with the trade union movement historically on occupational safety. I'm one of the few occupational health doctors that actually worked with the fledgling trade union movement in the 70s and 80s in Durban, a young medical student, and worked through many difficult cases. The mercury poisoning of workers at four chemicals in Durban. I helped with workers in Eastern Cape at some stage, and we go back to the background and issues. So we come from a background of commitment, historically at personal and professional level, of working on type of workers and making changes to the and input. In terms of the process, I regard it as a rare honor to have actually served our country in multiple ways. One of them was the National Institute of Occupational Health. Previously in my life, as a deputy director in December in the Northern Cape, I did the first grade study in a place called Pisa on community members and ex-workers with asbestos related problems in Pisa way back in 1996-97. That ultimately led to a class action suit against a multinational called KPU Asbestos, and ultimately led to an asbestos supplement suit. So these are the work that we've done historically in terms of the process. And when we came to party, there were some difficulties in terms of, and you know, the issues in terms of the National Institute of Occupational Health, National Institute of Community Diseases. There were discussions that we had yesterday. We've tried in different, so my committee of work, the executive director, they've tried to run as a commissioner within the Department of Health to take forward the important portfolio for occupational health. The committee is committed to the health and safety of workers, amongst the health of women, the health of children. We feel that this is something that we need to highlight and work to do. So the plea I make to the members is we might sound administrative, but some of the ideas and inputs that are coming up is basically some of us who have been on the ground working with our people have begun to say that we will get in at the deep end and push this forward. I've been regarded in some quarters as public enemy number one because I'm seen as moving an agenda forward, like the inspection. Never been done before to raise the issues around. That the end stage is compensation, but compensation is not the end goal. We need to prevent workers from having noisy and hearing loss, from getting broken limbs, getting TB in the mind. And in fact, I raised this agenda very sharply 7 years ago when I first put the data for TB hanging and silicosis and the problems around. So first the appeal is we appreciate that we came across as an administrative presentation. But believe us that we have been on the ground, we worked with the Ecmine Work Association, in fact, as recent as the in terms of the district mining community putting in inputs, and also in terms of the difficulties around marijuana, I personally managed the post-mortem for the 34 mining workers, etc. Physically on the ground during that week of the tragedy and working to change things around and the discussion, physically being in the focus of the discussion with, for example, the Minister of Mineral Resources in the Eastern Cape, in meetings with previously Deputy President Kale Mwatate. So we apologize if we're coming across as an administrative process. Believe us that the work that we're doing in Carltonville, Kansasa, Amzumkulu, Zanana, Shashai is working with people that are particularly the ex-mine workers group and currently working with the industry. So the only thing I'm making is that see us slightly differently in the sense that we're committed to changing the lives, livelihoods and interests for workers in South Africa and its workers. So that's the only thing I'm making in terms of that process. And forgive us if we come across as a very cold administrative process. So I'll get into the details in terms of the process. So what we've split it into the legislative process, and Dr. Andrew Kale will deal with some of the aspects of the legislative process. I will deal potentially on the financial issues. I mean, it's really what is the ban on the ground? How do we deal with this audit and financial report and input? So you'll forgive me if I did some grouping, and you could miss out something that maybe members will come back. And just in terms of reporting to Parliament, we will prepare you a detailed report, especially, for example, on the ones of services, the challenges, and input. So maybe, Dr. Kale, you want to deal with the legislative question?
Okay. On the issue relating to the legislation, on page 8 of 13, relating to the annual performance plan, the first indicator which deals with the legislation talks about development, reflect and implement the policy and legislative framework for occupational health and population. So the intention was that during this financial year, and development of the policy and the legislative framework will be finalized, and that will include consultation with the various stakeholders. And subsequently, that will then be submitted to cabinet for approval, and then submitted to the portfolio committee in 2016-17, with the assumption that the process in 16-17 will take a year, and in 13-18, the implementation will start. So in 17-18, we have an indicated implementation of activities in line with the amended legislation, so that in the year of 16-17, the legislation will be approved, we could then have an amended legislative framework which would make it easier for the CCOD to operate. I think that's the intention. So it wasn't to kind of extend it over the 5 years. There is currently draft legislation available, but that will much come out as well as the department first before the submitted to cabinet. And then if cabinet approves this, we can then our cabinet to then bring it to parliament so that that can consider. So that's the intention in terms of also the legislation. And then I think in the quarterly target, you will see the intention of this financial year to see how those needed to be achieved. I don't know the other questions, but
yeah. Now, so the process is not consultation, but we've had to do, because you've got the other departments as well, the question of controlled mine and non-controlled mine. So there's some policy issues that are overlapping us and the inspector issues. The legislation is coming to chair, both a technical service delivery model. We have to deliver the services, so it's not just as straightforward as administering a combination fund. The first half of the legislation deals with all the delivery of the service type, the issue around the inputs on copper mines, and then there's raised very important issues, for example, TV. Where we're paying a TV for 6 months, what about MDR TV? So this legislation is old. MDR TV was not around, and APR TV, it seems relevant when the legislation was written. And it never happened. Officials at that stage did not appraise the minister or yourselves or your previous person to say you need to make a regulation change, for example, that to cover 2 years of treatment, for example. So ministers are clear about, and those are the things, but you have to consult about this. We know what we want to do, but if we, and because it's working within the framework of trade unions and employer groups, remember ultimately the levy, if we don't consult, we'll be told that pushing forward the process and there'll be a pushback at some stage in Parliament. So that's why we're not pushing for a prolonged consultation process, but we want to do this properly in terms of bringing it, because it's ultimately leading to service delivery input, as well as the issues around, there's a big issue around cross-border service delivery. How do you actually deal with that? When the Act was written, it never really considered cross-border delivery. Remember, this Act was written for white South Africans, working and living in South Africa. It never considered black people in general, and also migrant workers were coming from across borders. So this Act was never written to look at cross-border services. So those are all things, unfortunately, we have to look at, and it's going to take that process. Now, the link process, of course, is that we have to then take it to cabinet, and that's why we gave ourselves this 1.5 year period. So if there's a way that the members feel that it can be faster, then, you know, we that's the discussion that we have with the members through the department, legal section, and our minister. So let me deal with then the issues around the financial issues, not the turnaround strategy. What are the issues? First, the minister raised the issue that, yes, it's nice because of the broad vision. Sure, we apologize that we didn't cover detail this. We were also trained by the department that if we go too much into detail, so there was the issue about how much detail versus how much overview type issue. So again, we apologize, and I think these interactions help for me to the detail. Now, the first issue we have to do a diagnosis of the problem. We know the problem, and we can go to the Auditor General report of 2009-10 and 2011. 2011, as I pointed out, was withdrawn. Honourable Member is correct. The same issues affect us. We need to do a valuation of the fund every 3 years. And the valuation of the funds was done in the 10-11 financial year, which was not accepted. Both of the advisory committee, this committee which is made up of the trade unions and the Chamber of Mines, remember they have come up the levies, and it was not accepted by the Auditor General as well. Now the valuation of the fund goes into the Auditor's financial statement. It's an important part of what's called the liability issue in the Auditor's financial statement. So firstly, the valuation is not accepted. Then, secondly, the Auditor's financial statement had a lot of these points that are made that we highlighted in the strategic plan, which point out about accounts receivable, levies, verification of the levies. Did we go to the mine? Did we verify the risk shifts? They told us that 1,000 workers, you know, 3 lakh risk shift. Did we verify that? So when you start looking at that Valuation of the fund is not acceptable. The accounting records aren't in place, both on the expenditure side. Point raised by member asked about how many payments are there? There's a fundamental question. We couldn't find out how many payments were there historically, and the Auditor General couldn't find that out as well. So on the expenditure side, we didn't have financial records. On the revenue side, we didn't have good financial records and the valuation. So these are things that give to the members that we now have turnaround strategy. So firstly, we have to do what? Get the records corrected. So that was the registry and the verification of the data in the records. Why are the records so problematic in terms of this? And then to begin to start looking at the issue around how many people are outstanding in terms of claims, and I'll come to the details in a minute, and what's happening on the revenue fund. So I hope that members have seen what we've done is that we put the inspection in place. Yes, and the subject will give you some details in a few minutes, Chair, about what the inspections are doing, the verification of the records, so that we have that in place. There were also in the Auditor General's queries a range of what we call governance issues. Is the risk committee functioning? Is the audit and risk committee? Is there a strategic plan? Is there an annual performance plan? So all of those things we corrected. Beyond the financial record, we've also corrected what are called compliance issues in terms of the Ardmore Act, and compliance issues in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. So we corrected all the things that are preparing for it. So in that process, the member is correct that I neglected to say that this has been an historical process becoming us. Because we can't open, I'm told by the counselors, I'm a medical doctor training of patient medicine. If we can't open an opening balance and a closing balance, then it's hard to go year after year. So the first issue was correct, the 2010-11 financial record, and present that. Then open up the balance in the 11-12 financial year, and then move forward. So Chair, I hope we do have a plan in place. We'll make that detail. So the first issue was the registry. The second issue was certification. The third issue was the verification of the record. And the next issue was the financial record. Now part of that is related to recruiting a chief director of finance, and in the process of also the recruitment. We do have financial staff. The Deputy Commissioner, unfortunately, couldn't make it because of ill-health of meeting, who has an accounting background. And we have beefed up some of the financial side, so some of the inputs come in. We are preparing the tender for the valuation, because it's an outsourced activity. We don't have valuators within it. It has to be done with an outsourced valuation. The tender is ready. It will be set up in the first week of April, basically in the next 2 weeks. And we hope we have a valuation of the fund carried out. And in parallel, we've done the preparation of the financial records, etc., etc. So I hope that the financial turnaround strategy is there, and then we'll come back in terms of, presentation. Now the issue is that we are told that we have to do them in order, so that's why you see in the strategic plan, there's the 10-11, 11-12 financial statement in this coming financial year. Then there's the 12-13, 13-14 financial statement and the report, and thereafter. Now we're hoping to do the valuation, by the way, not on a CL basis, but do annual valuation because of the nature of where we find ourselves as we go forward. So that's on the financial turnaround strategy. Let me deal with the issues that I wanted to do. On the clarity on the pensioners. So the old act, I have it at the back of this, the pneumoconiosis act. It used to be called the pneumoconiosis act. Towards the back of your document you have a definition issue on the strategy plan. There is page 18 chair is the definition and previous act about 6-7 lines on the bottom is the thing on the pneumoconiosis act. Means the pneumoconiosis compensation act number 64, 1962. That act has the provision for pensioners. Remember again this act was written for white people in South Africa, which took into account that the can relocate the long-term pension. So the pensions are a vestige of that old act that was taken into the new act. The new act does not make provision for pensioners. And we've got about 100 pensioners left from the old act, and we've taken complaint that that money is appropriated from Parliament to the voting house that's spent. So you're paying for the pensioners within this act. So I hope that clarifies the pensioner part of it. The new act does not allow for pensions. Standalone strategy, program of action. Let me deal with the human resource side, because that came up. So there was the financial aspects, which said, look, tell us how you want to stand on the financial aspects, financial statements, the accounting reports, presentation to Parliament, the annual report. Then the question was raised by members about the human resource strategy. You tell us that you'll come up to 100% if you put a few more posts, but you're specialized those. So Chair, we had to prepare a conceptual model, which we prepared to the department. And essentially, a conceptual model is to look at clinical service delivery. And part of that, I'm not too sure there was a discussion yesterday about the role of a unit called National Institute for Occupational Health, which is within the National Health Laboratory Service at the moment, which provides the pathology services. They do the postmortems. The removal of the heart and lungs is one of the issues for dead mine workers. We remove the heart and lungs and we check on the disease process. And the National Institute for Occupational Health has a pathologist and laboratory that helps us with this kind of work. Apart from having doctors and physicians, including this category of people called occupational medicine doctors, they also have a category of people called epidemiologists who do surveillance. So part of the process ultimately is to look at a new structure that will incorporate the National Institute of Occupational Health, NVOD and TDOD as we go forward. With clinical service delivery, financial services, because there's a range of financial services we can do, there's administration of the act, and then there's also around infrastructure and delivery and the support services. So that will be organogram and the discussion we've had with the Director General and the National Department of Health. And we prepared an organogram. The Director General has now signed up on the organogram for the new specialized skills that are needed for the CCOD and to support the delivery of services for the mine workers and ex-mine workers and ultimately other workers. And that has been set up, and it's now going to go through the process of evaluation. There's a process and ultimately submission to DPSA, Department of Public Service Administration, prior to us then actually fulfilling the So again, that's an omission, and we take the members and we will report to you all on progress of what we're doing about the human resources and beginning the financial turnaround, or meeting with the human resource turnaround and the process of the organogram, Department of Public Service Administration approach, etc. And linked to that is this issue around becoming a government opponent as opposed to a cluster within the Department of Health. So the whole issue engage is ever taking that forward. So that covers the process of care, skill, and input. And we're also talking to the development partners of our sub-support, like legal support and input, and also to the mining industry. Now, your point was for donations. Let me suggest you can deal with one stop. But at this point in time, Chair, it's been kept in hand that we've gone to request funds. And yes, it has been donations. So I don't know what members feel in terms of the model. The approach we want to take with the legislative change and the legacy fund is that ideally this act should be funded in its entirety by the industry. There should not be a burden on the state in terms of covering the cost. That's why some of the legislative conversations are taking place. At this point in time, we have to go captain and our request for money for service delivery. And you guys have to call the donation, not the contribution.
We go on then to things that I could relate to.
The question about the controlled mine versus the non-controlled mine will be covered then. Hopefully, what the resolution will be probably seeking a meeting of the joint committee between your portfolio committee about this issue. About because for the workers themselves on the ground, they don't understand this concept of controlled mine and non-controlled mine. That then brings the issue around the TEBA, the core of service, and the TEBA database, and the cost of the TEBA input. So at this point in time, the CCOD does not pay TEBA for any record of service. What we have done is that the individual mine worker or ex-mine worker or beneficiary of the mine worker, a family member, has to go to TEBA, and I'm told that they pay on average about 90 grand to get the record of service. I have written to Mr. Graham Everett, the chief executive officer, the CEO of TEBA, about seeking clarity on whether they would be able to make the record of service free of charge to the Department of Health in terms of the TEBA process. But that's the record of service. And the issue, and the only reason for the record of service is because the record of service will show whether it was a controlled mine that the mine worker was in, and based on that we pay. Now, I clarify with staff about the issues, what happens to a worker who comes from a non-controlled mine. The non-controlled mine should be covered by land mutual, this other compensation fund, as we talked about. And that leads to then the process where Honourable Member mentioned about the issue about why we're dealing only with lungs and hearts. Unfortunately, that's not the law written to deal with occupational diseases of the heart and lungs. If you have an occupational injury to the heart and lungs, say a traumatic injury or in the mind, that's covered by FIDA and RAND visual. TB in the spine is covered by FIDA and RAND visual, you know, and those are the engagements we are having with RAND visual to say that ultimately the medium term is ultimately to have close to one legislative framework. But in terms of the process for one legislative framework, if we have a current problem in terms of the discrepancies, no audited prime statements, no annual reports, no valuation of the fund, it's very hard to merge the two funds when the one family is very, very problematic. I also see some of the other boards, and there are also some challenges with that fund. So if you have challenges with this fund, with the difficulties that we have at home, it's very difficult to subvert it. So we need to start the discussions between the Department of Labor and the Department of Health. But one of the big issues is about ultimately cleaning up this fund, and then having it on the external platform, and we're hoping within the next 2 years to get that done. If we get more injection of funds, yes, we might be able to turn it on at much quicker basis in terms of this process. So that covers some of the issues on, and then the term of database was partly related to the fact that we run our records against the Terra database and we think it might not be adequate. Remember, Terra covered mainly contract workers in the mining industry. Coal mines recruited locally. So many of the coal mines in Mpumalanga, for example, recruited locally. So they are not covered by the Terra database. We also have picked up that Terra database does not cover contract workers. There are many mines that are run by contract workers. That's something that we also try to resolve now. So one of the issues was to look at the database. But we are in discussion with Terra about what would be the model step forward in terms of this process. On the issues of the budget, let me deal with the financial issues. What is this committee actually approving? So Chair, what you are approving is the expenditure, MTF expenditure of the fund. The fund value is 2.9 billion rand. So we do apologize because we don't have audited financial statements. We've not provided that yet in terms of the fund value. So what is the fund value? What you are seeing here is an expenditure plan over the next year in terms of how much money we collect from the mine and how much are we going to spend on things. So it's around the issue around the 170 million, the 400 million. So what we collect and what, that's all you are approving in this process, subject to us providing proper financial records, which I pointed out the difficulties we have today about not having proper financial records and we working toward that. The budget to run the administration of the COD, I'm not too sure if the National Park has the presence of all these, but our budget will be covered in the chapter of Dr. Pillay. We are program 6. Yes. So we are covered in that chapter, the 58 million. I showed you the example to make the point that I can't run a fund with 2% of fund value. So I just gave you that closer. That's why I wanted it to be popular, to cover the fund. So that, I hope that clarifies the budget issues. Okay, I'm going to go to asking Ms. Pagliacci, well, maybe you could deal with the TV issue and NDR TV, and then I'll ask Ms. Pagliacci to deal with service survey outreach actually. Dr. Lelewani.
There's one area that I didn't touch upon because I don't want to come to the this area of, would you not consider in addressing with the backlog of
will be covering some of the aspects when she talked about the human resource and input. So thanks, Chair. So if everybody will talk about the EDNDR and some of the certification issues.
Chair, on the issue of CD, like the Commissioner said, we are repeated that time, that we are only addressing the telephone on the TV base. So we are dealing with PTV, unmonitored accounts. And we can also deal with TV on the hotline. We have kind of TV, we have telepathies. And we pay to 35% for income or loss of earning for however long that situation lasts, keeps them out of work. With regard to NDR, I think I should also mention XDR. You know, normally what happens when a person is at this stage, there will be some decision from the pulmonary function. And in that case, you know, most of the issues that we see end up being second-degree TB, which means they should be terminated from work. They are correctly terminated. They can never ever work in the mine. And then they are brought all access. That is the unfortunate nature of the high-pressure case.
So, Chairman, perhaps you will answer a lot of the services, what for services, human resources that you mentioned that you should take account, and that's just like for folks on ICT and the engagement for the provincial Department of Health. Like East States and Northwest and some input to work with the cross border. So
thank you. Thank you. Chair Hudson, I think you made a very valid observation. I read your observation as saying that we should be more on the ground and they are administered, you know, terms of the various unions. And indeed, you're correct. Because if you look at the industry, and if you look at the kind of work doing, we are venturing into a number of initiatives on the ground. But in terms of how you quantify that and the role we play, I think your observation is correct. Because that is true. That we need a lot more initiative to get the ground and to deal with it. So allow me then to say that there are issues here that you have to deal in terms of the administration and the HR issues. Our outreach program, Chair, following from our meeting last year in which I addressed you, I promised to give you the program, the ongoing program of our outreach, which I did. And most of our outreach programs have actually been happening in all provinces, let me say that. We've done it in all provinces, including the Western Cape, by the way, Chair, where we've addressed at least 5 meetings of ex-mine workers in the entire region. And in respect of that, we have done outreach work within South Africa, and we have also done outreach work with Swaziland, with Sotho, Botswana, because these, although they haven't visited them, they have plans to go there, but we have done we can give you the detailed report on the kind of ex-mine engagement we've had in these countries. In Swaziland, for instance, we are working very closely with the Swaziland ex-mine workers union in terms of dealing with that. In Botswana, we have met with the Consul General of Botswana, based in Johannesburg, and we have a very clear program of action for Botswana, because there has been a comment made in the last sitting of the committee in Botswana in December that we, in South Africa, employ their workers and then we send them home sick. You know, I think, and we've got to give a midterm report for May of this year. So, Chair, if you refer to the committee, I'd like to send you those reports as well, especially on Botswana, Swaziland, and the future, so that you are very clear in terms of the program, because you definitely answer questions in the public space, you know, when it comes to these things. So, I would answer that in that way. So, we do have a clear program. Of course, yes, your observation is correct. A clear program will not be outlined in the plan. You know? So, but in terms of the fact that there is a program, and that we avail to you, I would apologize for not finding space here because we had to work within a particular framework. It's not like anybody's fault, but you know, you had a framework in which the annual performance plan was to be defended. Chair, Dr. Barry has answered you the question on the difficulty in recruiting special skills. The only comment I will make there is that we now have an approval of those special skills that we need, and that it was part of the processes that he has explained. Let me then proceed to answer the question, Chair, that came from yourself in terms of the hiring of interns and others and so forth. Let me preface that, Chair, by saying that in all of our outreach programs, we've had extreme support from both the provinces, the municipality, the chief, as well as the CDW, the workers on the ground. The DG have also given us 29 technical support officers to help clear the backlog at the MVOBCCOG. And we can show you through a detailed report how the process of having them there, so we do have them there, and having them there has helped tremendously. Let me hasten to add as well that we've had tremendous support from Gauteng, who's given us from the district of West Rand at least 5 interns who assisted us in the various programs at Gauteng. And we have now been in engagement with the Eastern Cape. We spent a long time with them last week, and they have committed resources currently to assist with the outreach program and the whole recruitment and checking of the backlog. Let me say in the Eastern Cape, Chair, that we've had these kind of initiatives in Port Elizabeth, in East London, and I'm speaking about since January to now. Port Elizabeth, East London, Umhlanga, and Liwori. So we visited those areas, and we have engaged the communities of those areas, and then let me tell you that what the areas that we, that was in the presentation that I need to give some detail to, is that we were engaging with external service providers outside of the legal framework. And we needed to have a service agreement. We needed to tell them what the rules of the game are, you know, in terms of how would they engage. Because if you take the 2 one-stop facilities together with the central office, you never cope with the demand for the service. So you've got to decentralize the service, and you've got to bring in external service providers. So together with Dr. Lidivani, we have been right from Richards Bay to the Eastern Cape, we've been to Mpumalanga and Northwest, and on Friday this week we're doing the three states. And what we've done, Chair, is we now will send you a list, you know, from Dr. Lidivani's section on the doctor that we have received, and all the people that will be providing a service in the, as external service providers. And I might be the most encouraging of those areas was actually for the visitors, where you come from, you know, and they came from, we met on the night of Friday, and they came from all over PE, you know, the outlying areas, your Alice and your Queenstown, your Grahamstown, and so we got like a doctor in an area. So I thought personally, sure, that was a very encouraging exercise. And we went to Pumalanga, and in Pumalanga, in the Kangala district alone, we have such a demand for the service, you know. So it is spreading, and we feel excited about that kind of spread of this issue. Let me say that in terms of the one-stop shop and the question of why the focus and how are you in the side of country with the big numbers, sure, we're in the project right now of establishing Swaziland. And Swaziland is being assisted by the World Bank to actually create their own one-stop facility in Swaziland. And we are dealing with, we've got problems in our own country in terms of where do we locate the one-stop, the service centers, etc. And Chair, I think another area that you were very correct in, or one of the honourable members, in saying that in the writing of the one-stop service centers, yes, we've got to look at Northwest, and we've got to look at three states, and we've got to look at other labour-sending areas, because you'll find that in our numbers are improving in Carlinville because we are taking in ex-mine workers from Northwest, for instance. And the seven countries are actually buying into the concept and visiting our one-stop centers because they're not getting services in their own countries around that. So if I have to have my own resource chair, let me hear such a bad review, but I haven't consulted my own commissioner yet, I would say we need at least 10 one-stop centers in the Eastern Cape because the demand is just so big and you can't cope with that. So, Chair, yes, we hear you on that. In the case of Northern Cape and Limpopo, honourable members, yes, we have engaged both the provinces, so just a slight amendment. We've met with both the heads of department in Limpopo and we've met with the heads of department in Northern Cape. And we are, next week and the first week of April, intend to visit Northern Cape, to visit Kurumani itself, and to look at the health, because it has to be attached to the health facility. So we want to go and see now. We're actually going through the site to see where the thing is going to be established. And in Burgess Court, we've got tremendous support because the province has allocated a resource person to actually assist us with that. So we have conducted with both those provinces in the sector. Let me go then to the inspectors. Chair, we have 9 inspectors, and these inspectors have a health background, and or they have an environmental health background. So that's the 9. So that's the 9 inspectors who are funded by the Global Fund, and they are all appointed. So we've got that lot of people, and they do TB surveillance in the mines. And we've expanded the brief from the beginning of March, and that they also go, ma'am, to answer your question, they also go to the hospitals, and we are in the surrounding mining areas because we're not getting all the data from the mines. So we're visiting the health facility closest to those mines as well. So they spent 2 long weeks in Welkom and I'm saying from March. But in total, Chair, they have exceeded their targets because we only started active mine visiting October, November, February and March, and we've covered 55 or 34 mines already. So we've got those, and Chair, if you could have assistance, we will provide you with the absolute details of what are the figures and the statistics that are coming up on these visits. Because in October and November, we've done last visits in Northwest and in Pumalanga. So we'd like to show you, you know, those kinds of stats that have come from those facilities as well, and the stats from three states as well as the Eastern Cape project, and Pumalanga as well. And then we've got 5 inspectors who are dealing purely with the finance issues, you know, going and checking. Are they just as correct? Do they have they what they are they paying the correct compensation? What is the levy and so forth? So there are 14 inspectors on the ground, and we also couple that chairperson Woody. In terms we've got not in terms but the technical support officers to accompany them in terms of getting hands-on experience in terms of that. But when we expand that to all the mines, certainly we're going to have an HR challenge because now we're managing it because we've got 240. So I hope that answers your question in terms of the field and the expertise around the inspectors. and because we have records around that. Chair, we also like to assure you that we've got the detailed reports on what you're asking. And we'd be most pleased to share that with the committee. In terms of all the data you want and all the statistics around these areas, as well as not just being user figures, but telling you we've got a register at both the one stop service centers on the names of people that have visited. But in sharing, I'm certain, you know, that there has to be a caution as to how we share the things going on with other people, because we've got currently in Umtata, the Eastern Cape province has actually given us a huge level of support because they've deployed additional doctors for one culture in Umtata, and because we're sitting with a backlog of patients, and we're sitting about 1,300 that are fully booked up. So they've helped, and the university helps out tremendously as well in terms of giving that support. So, Chair, I think, the issue of compensation for families, I think Dr. Bennett's comment is not clear, but those are the questions that I could answer you.
Chair, there was probably two or three others, but I hope we covered most of what the members have asked. So there was the issue of what is the backlog, and there were questions about what about the families who are looking after the mine workers. I want to deal with what is the backlog issue. So, Chair, this is the indicative slide that really looks at what we're trying to do in terms of quantifying the problem. So we have the 200,000 files at the bottom of the pyramid of the CCOD, and I gave you all some data on the verification of what we've done there. And we picked up that there are about 100,000 of the work of the payment that are not being paid. Now, it's linked to our process. If we, in terms of the 100,000 that not be paid, if the payment is dead, then the money goes to the beneficiary. We have to find the families and pay that number. And that's a checking and tracing process. Of course, the discussion was around the database. Do we talk to SEPA? Do we talk to social mobilization, ex-mine workers group, etc.? So we're looking for ways about how do we track and trace. And part of that was related to a mapping challenge. Where are the mine workers? Where are the ex-mine workers? We're going to find out later here with funding from the World Bank. So that's the 200,000 files. The MEOD 700,000 files have not yet gone to the certification committee. So these are files, and they've not gone to the certification committee because they're missing a record of service, they're missing a lung function test, they're missing a chest x-ray, etc. We try and clarify that. We haven't done the verification yet, but we try and work on that. So that's your second backlog. But remember, in that group would be people who have non-compensable illness. So the group that may not be compensated because they don't have an illness that we can deal with within that. And we have to deal with that. Because we are very subscribed to care of the heart and lungs, and Dr. Lenny Barney talked to that, including the problems of our TB and TB of the finance, we can't cover that. So then there'll be a group within that group that will need to get certified for compensation, and they'll join the other group. And that's the two groupings that we looked at the backlog to get the backlog over the next 4 years. The problem is going to be a one certification committee, one director. They'll be processing 50 claims a day. So the point was made correctly by member that it's going to take forever to clear this. So we've given ourselves 4 years to clear this backlog once we deal with this issue. But if resources are brought to bear and some interim amendments that we can do with the minister or suspensions of certain clauses, then we might want to put 10 certification committees. We might want to deal with TB differently. There is 50% of the files that are dealing with TB. Why do we need 5 doctors then to look around the table and look at TB that's been already set by another doctor? So those are some of the things we try to tease out tactically, which say maybe the 700,000 files, 300,000 are compensable and 400,000 are non-compensable. That's the first issue. The second issue would be 150,000 might be TB only. They would deal with it differently, and maybe Dr. Lehmann's group should only deal with silicosis and 1st degree and 10th degree. So those are practical steps that we're going to come together in terms of sorting out the backlog and putting the source together. And I've already begun to discuss with the industry and the National Institute for Occupational Health about support for that process, because that's where the specialist doctors are. Unfortunately, these are special skills. There's a special tool you have to learn about international labor organization classification of chest pneumographs to their health. Members who are politically appointed but have their health background, they'll know about this called the ILO classification of chest pneumographs. And I'm going to be able to go through some of those kind of processes, but they're very technical processes that we need to do there. Now the big elephant in the room, the point I've made, the mountain, by the honorable member. The mountain is, the first issue is that mountain in my facing, the left-hand side at the top left of the pyramid, which talks about the issue around the ex-mine workers. We don't know the numbers of the ex-workers, and that's why we've been asked to talk to Chaba, we've had to talk to the mine houses, we've had to talk to
to different people about how we sort that out. And that's one of the issues that we want to deal with. We're working with a social mobilization, and we'll take Shepherd and Young Eco about how we involve young unemployed graduates, for example, how about some of the social mobilization issues. How do we work with X-Mind Work Association with the social mobilization? And that means, and do we work with technical leaders, leaders, family, etc. So that's some of the discussions that will start there, the feeding back for technical funding and input. That's the big issue that we haven't quantified the number of X-Mind workers. We have some data which might be saying that means the region of 1 to 2 million X-Mind workers. Now, how many are dead or alive, neighboring countries, etc., is what we're trying to get to. So, all of that, I'm hoping that the memory is in, that we're trying to tackle the mountain one step at a time. It's going to take a time, but hopefully we will resolve this, you know, within this next year. If you set ourselves that task, well, obviously we can't quite do this. And then on the right hand side is the current group of 246 mines, and that's one of the issues. We're having a workshop next on Monday, on Tuesday, on the database with the mining companies involved and the trade unions. And one of the issues we're saying that the current mines, the 246 current mines, we want them to populate our database now. So we're setting up the architecture, name, address, fingerprints, etc., make of kin, and we want to populate that now with the current mine contract assessment. So that's the backlog issue. I hope I resolve that. We have a plan and we try to get to those issues. Now the issue about the family. Unfortunately, the Act does not allow us to compensate for pain and suffering and what's typically in a compensation package. And maybe members, as their limits come through, these are things that we want to take hold from you, which says that are there other provisions that the legislation must cover as we go forward to make it a social protection package that not only looks at the mine worker, but looks at the families of the mine workers, like caregivers, which the Honourable Member talked about. What happens to the sick mine worker with cancer as a result of asbestos, lung, mesothelioma, in the final stages? What happens to a caregiver? Is there provision for that? We would really want to engage on those kind of issues to make those provisions going forward. It can't be a retrospective, but as we go forward, maybe these are things covered. But in the event of a claimant dies, the money is paid to the beneficiary, but it doesn't cover the care and support, the pain and suffering, and those kind of aspects. And my view is that we must take forward what members are telling us and see if we can bring that into the amendment. Chair, I hope that we try to cover most of it for this.
Chair, the question you asked about King William's time, I think that's a very valid question, because you have a very problematic individual there. And I mentioned it the last time as well. And the reason why this person continuing to organize in those areas, in that area in particular, it's because there is, as you correctly point out, there is misinformation between the two members. And the only reason he's trying to do that is because we are now on the ground and we've got a direct relationship with the ex-miners. So when we go and tell him that this is what is due to you, this is the report, that this is the progress, the fair vote in 20%. Now the Eastern Cape government is trying to deal with it. So maybe our committee, I'll share those details with you, because I think it's a serious issue. The point here, that we did attend the meeting, in the hall, the one meeting, and myself had to literally be, had to run from there, because it became violent, they called the police, etc., because this is a really big problem. So King Williamstown, we are very much on top of that, and more so, these agents, the only province where the agents are giving us a property is the Eastern Cape. In every other province, we've got absolute cooperation, including the group that we are dealing with in the Western Cape. Yeah. So, just that.
Yeah, I just wanted to maybe take the committee back a little bit in terms of how far we are with the CCD and UNT. Maybe many committee members may not be aware of the history of CCD and UNT. The previous portfolio committee had steered the relationship of the way that CCD and UNT was operating. So much so that when the commission had come to make a presentation to the committee had actually recommended that the commissioner be dismissed. And that's what happened after. And so the previous commissioner was effectively an administrative individual or financial accountant. So the perspective that the UNBC could be was an administrative process that was sitting in ground punching and writing checks. And if you complied, if you got your money, you complied. So I suppose the point I'm making is the legacy that the new team has inherited is significant in terms of the culture of the organization. So the year prior to you coming in is when we brought in the team, and now we're trying to make these changes. So I think it will take a time to see significant gains in the backlog, particularly because the structure of the organization was a administrative structure.
co-chair, and my name is Sadiq Bongi. I'm a member of the committee, and I did communicate that I may not make it today, but I was able to come here. Thank you.
I think you need to expedite the amendment of the legislation to enable you to cover a lot of ground. Without that, you can see that your hands are tied. I suppose you do the post motions about the cardiothoracic or cardiovascular system for these compensatory purposes, and what the what you call it, old mutual fund. Do they get the report of the court post motions from you, or when you have dealt with the part that the legislation allows you to do, you hand over the cadavers to somebody else to do the post motion, or you give them the report from an NGO or facility in Frankfurt, or what is happening here, and who does the lung function test? And after that, if it does not belong to your side of the story, do you give it to the other people on the other side? You see, the compensation of workers, I mean, the reason why the legislation is like this, it was to sort of mind the relation of production so that the whole thing is actually managed and it's meant to help other people keep them healthy. So we have to do things radically now. We have to change the production relations of production and bring them to what we want them to be for the sake of our people. And we don't have to apologize for this. And if we keep on saying softly catching, by the time we try to catch it, there will be nothing to catch, and the people will revolt it because they want help from us. And we cannot afford to take forever to do this. And then you can see there's a problem. Three types of different personal compensation and things like that. They all don't talk to each other. Each one has got a function to keep the workers testifying for the sake of managing the relation of production. So it is incumbent upon you as activists to look at this thing not from a point of top point of view, but from a national perspective for what must be done to rectify the wrongs and the ills of the past. And you don't have to apologize for this. And we are here to look into that and help you. And if you don't come to us with a problem, we can't create a problem and create solutions for you. So you have to come with the problems to us, then we look for the solutions together. Thank you.
Isn't that good? And as a
I'm not sure what is the position of government. They affirm that the board was given to government and what cabinet agreed what needs to be done. That's one thing. The second issue is the if you take your strategic planning, you talked about the increase from spending from 108.5 million to 186.8 million at the end of the MTF period. But on page 6, the MTF period is a different figure altogether. The MTF period on page 6 is a different figure altogether. In this financial year, it has been 65.9, as opposed to 158.5. And the MTF process is 195.2 million. As opposed to 186.8 million. So I'm not sure exactly the two figures. What exactly does it mean? Because for me they're not the same. I mean top one is the same thing. But they're not the same. They reflect differently. If you can just clarify that, so I can understand, because they must relate to each other. You know. And then thirdly the on the same slide on the same page on page 6. In terms on top they are saying on the previous page which on page on page 8 when they're talking about the this act mandate to compensate current and ex workers. And also the issue of TB treatment. But on page 6, it's only compensation of ex workers. I will take it for granted that current workers also covered there. Was it a program for the administration? Of course, compensation of pensioners. Can you also clarify this pension as well? Because yesterday they asked you, that does indicate pensioners, but what type of pensioners are you covered? And then the issue of current, because everywhere we speak about current, but in the program, there is compensation of X minus on it. Thus, we take it for granted that the current are covered under that program of X minus. And then lastly, on the slide number 7 about gender, the summer we say not applicable, the 3,998, what is it that it means? The female, this male, this one that says not applicable, but the number. Does that mean that they are not female, they are not male?
I mean,
with the medical staff council so that you are able to also check if they are not
what's very clear, and principles that we have reflected, we need to secure the primary principles and also get the approval of the state of the
No, I appreciate the Honourable Member's input. I'm agree with the publication, but the Honourable Member made a very important point about the concept that we call specialist population. So we're not involved in the factors of production. So why do you have the factors of production? And because you have large numbers and you can always reach this. Remember, the mining industry is probably dependent on bronze, not silver. So you recruit young, in a sense, African men, 18 years of age, bring them in, and as soon as they become settlers to the factors of production, we throw them back into labor reservoirs. And that's why we know the PhD that we have. So we're quite clear about our roles as we go transforming the society. And that's why I said, and the members will go back, I had a very difficult period last year for 6 months, when, because of the way I stood in terms of the thing, there were some issues that took place in terms of a movement between two jobs, where we need to bring things together. Because some of us speak the same language about the fact that our people were seen as drawn, as cheap labor, and others even not even compensated in terms of issues. So, you know, I think fundamental issues about, for example, measurements of risk. And there's some big issues with the measure of risk and like that. Our silica dust level, the standard for the occupational code is 0.1 milligram per cubic meter. Not about same company operating in Australia, in Canada, etc. The figures for occupational exposure limit for silica dust share is at 0.025. And when I questioned that I made a joke to say that probably African men can tolerate higher levels of silica dust exposure compared to North American white men. And that's not true physiologically. But these are the issues that some of us were crucified when we began to make the issues about occupational exposure limit. Right now we have an issue around noise induced hearing loss. And we have a figure around 85 decibels, DBA. But the standard is higher than that. And I think these are issues that ultimately we need to start balancing. I don't have to deal with noise and hearing loss, but noise and hearing loss and silica dust and CO2 are big issues in the mining industry. And maybe sooner or later we have to pick that up. But we appreciate the input about the fact that ultimately our people, cheap labor, ultimately values of the workplace and ultimately the difficulties. So one big point that the honorable member had mentioned about how do we deal with the transformation.
The member has been referring to the annual performance report and the figures. The figures are correct, Madam Chair. The only issue is that there has to be a division, maybe we can clarify to page 6, where it talks about the expenditure estimates. So if you take the 158.5 million, so if you take the current estimate as 2, because we haven't completed the financial year of 2014-15. So the column 2014-15, the total is 165.9. 165.9 minus 7.4. The administration of the fund is related to, for example, we put provisions aside for the valuation report. The actual valuation has to be paid for from the fund. We haven't used this money, but that's the amount. So if you take 165.9, because of the concept of transfer to households, so the amount for compensation of pensioners, it is correct for the member, it's called compensation of current and A-minus. The column was too tight, but it's current and A-minus workers. And by the way, we're using minus as a proxy, especially workers in controlled mines and works, including smelters and refineries, etc. So we correct some of these things as we go forward, but these are things that are unfortunately sitting in our advanced reports and some of these reports. So if you take compensation of pensioners, compensation of X minus, compensation of TV and Eastern Cape project, those then add up to 158.5, which is the transfer to households. So in economic terms, the early amount of 7.4 is an internal administrative part to pay for the valuation of fund, and the transfer to people outside the fund is 158.5. And you go to the end of the NTF period 2017-18 at 195.2 minus 8.4, it will give you a figure of 186.8. So, Chair, we apologize that maybe we didn't write it too clearly, but that's what's meant in terms of the transfer outside the fund as opposed to an internal figure. So I hope I corrected that. The pensioners, I told before, is related to the definition we have over the previous act. This is an old act that was taken on board. When the act was written, it covered white pensioners. These are essentially white and some colored pensioners. We have about 100 of them left, and we concentrate that. The new act, the old pneumoconiosis act from 1962, covered pensions. When the new act came into being, remember it was devaluated. Black people in general came on board. The act removed pensions for the current group that took the benefits forward from the old grouping. So that's part of the problem that we face, and that's related to pensions, and that paid from the state account. Thank you.
But by act of parliament, it is not covered from the fund. We have to have transfer. And increase annually because as the Minister of Finance increases state pensions, you know, the social assistance, old age, disability grant, then they also make a provision for us in terms of this push. So I hope that covers the pensions. The relationship, the organogram, sorry, I mentioned about that, that we will report on it, but there's a process at this moment in time, and it's very much covered. On the issue of the corporate social security, we've covered on the Labour Commission. The relationship to the union, I unfortunately didn't, I talked about stakeholders. The stakeholders concept, the one that is working with MUM, AMCU, the Solidarity, NUMSA, the Metal Workers Union is also involved with us, and one or two others in terms of the process. On our governance committee, the advisory committee, the National Union Mine Workers has a seat on it. The National Union Mine Workers also has a seat on the risk committee. And we also nominate people for the certificate committee, the doctors. We have a certificate committee that sits under Dr. Levy. The MUM actually nominates the doctors that are appointed by the minister. So they are quite involved in multiple efforts. As to the databases, sure, we have engaged with the MUM. We've engaged with them at multiple forums, including meetings in the ECK. So both at a high level, about saying, can you share your database with us? If the honorable member could help us, then I would teach his assistance in terms of this. The MUM today has not given us its membership database. So we've engaged with them about this, but it has not come forward. Now, either they are not making available, and they might have it or not, but we have asked for this as part of the process. And if the honorable member could assist, then we would take that up outside of the meeting. Possibly the honorable member may be able to assist us, but we would appreciate that. If we are looking to quantify, as the previous member asked about what is the quantification problem, we don't know yet. And your point, Chair, about research collaboration. Now, the MRC is another entity that's within the, under the oversight of the village, so what I've mentioned, I have engaged with the Medical Research Council on a couple of occasions. At this point in time, they don't see their feet as covering research in occupational health. So I have engaged with them. I've engaged with the previous president of the MRC and the current president of the MRC. But hopefully, Dr. Anton Pillay might be able to facilitate that. They feel that that's not on the breach, that they've got too many priorities, and this is not one of the areas of work within the MRC. But suffice to say that we do have some funds available within the competition fund for research. We haven't utilized it yet. There is a level of funds that goes to research. And of course, there's an institute called the National Institute of Occupational Health that we'll be working quite closely with within the past year as we go forward with the reforms of the National Health Authority Service. It will be some of these. So I just want to show you that that one is an important area of course to work with the MRC, but we'll try it and we'll continue that engagement. Now, the point you made was a very important one about corruption. Chair, the problem at the moment is that we have a dark hole. He's trying to put a light on this dark hole. And that's part of the issue. We think that there would be a lot of issues around fraud and corruption as we uncover the claims histories, the payment issues, who are we paying for, etc. But it's our first step in the process. So I promise you that we'll probably only be able to report. We have anecdotal evidence, we don't have any firm evidence, but as we start sorting out the verification of the files and input and the payment data, etc., we will probably pick up this and we will come back to you on a report on this at a later stage. And that's part of the issue about putting in a risk committee. We're looking at a compliance officer, a risk officer. Those are things that we put into the organogram. And we're putting in a special team that we start the forensic investigation. But those things are caught up in the organogram, and we are waiting for funding to come together with that. On the cost of the one-stop services and the contribution of the Chamber of Mines, to date, the average cost of setting up the one-stop service is at 10 million rand for the unit. These are physical infrastructure. I think we showed a photo of that last time. There's an administrative wing, a medical wing, and a rehabilitation wing. The three structures. And they come in at a cost of around 10 million rand to set them up together with the equipment. The recurring cost for one doctor, one nurse, and an admin clerk is around 2 million per annum. And as you take a modular process, if you put in two doctors, two nurses, two admin clerks, it'd be 4 million per annum. So, Chair, we do have those things, and that's why we're quite keen on changes to the limit about who bears the cost, as well as the state has to bear the cost. So where do the contributions come from? For the Eastern Cape project, the National Department of Health and the Eastern Cape Department of Health contributed to the cost of the facility at the Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital. Totally in government, so out of government budget. In terms of the cost of the carbon dioxide, the Chamber of Mines gave us, Shireen, I said 4.5 million. Right, for the initial kickoff of the Carpenter Project facility, and the Chamber of Mines has then given us an additional sum of 1.8 million rand for the recurring cost per annum for the next 3 years. We are in further negotiations about the details. So that contribution to date, The Chamber of Mines is also assessed with some of the business process re-engineering, the cost of the ID assessment, the cost of the verification. So they've given us assessments around 4 million rand over the last 2 financial years to do some of the business process re-engineering and some of the data that are provided. Now, of course, the honourable member left the room, but the whole issue around non-applicable, where you see non-applicable in the site, is related to the data we're missing. So, so that's what NAE stands for. Like when I showed you the country, and we had non-applicable, and the data was missing our country of origin. When you had not applicable in gender, the data was missing. So I apologize again, we should have probably put missing data. So I hope that's covered most of what the members wanted to know about, and we appreciate both the philosophical input as well as some of the practical input on the ground. For the postmortems, Doc Lezman will use the postmortems.
Thank you.
So whatever we do, whoever goes to the project, we don't want you to go to the project. Here we are dealing with, the evil of our history. It is how we are talking about evil, which is going to be actually. When you are to use a dissecting footset, you are to, and at times that you are then going to promote the world right. And this set is among the other. So that's why the project is a diagnosis of history in this set. So I think through Dr. Clay, we have to look into this issue. Because we will stand here, we will hammer you, we will show you the matching orders and terms in the center that each of the legislation remembers legislation which then we are to do. I think one of my saying is correct. We have to check with that. I think we're happy today that you have unpacked or been open and blunt to us to say everything is fragmented. This department is working in silos. The act was an act that was addressing any particular era. And as a result, it is humbling and making it difficult for us to be able to move forward, irrespective. Because in my young life, we were there, they were every day, and just was there. The other thing that I would think that the purpose of the group into this, we can't have only 9 infectants. Only 9. In fact, a complex sector. We can't. So, look into how best to increase the standard. We are happy about the knowledge of the community. Now, that's true. I think the mistake that I did, I said, you said that I gave you my email address. And there was a time sometime last year I was just cut off because I had to make some change in the iPad. And I was born after everything, I don't know what I touched, and everything was done. So I'm going to give you, which I think is the best, for whatever information you have to do that, forward that to the intelligent. Yes, we know there is information that is classified, but we know how to communicate. For whatever other information, I think before you leave, take this, because Yoga is a person that is then able to. If there is information that you think that it must then present to the office of the chair, first, I'm going to give you my notes, my email address, you can sign up, I'm able to accept that. Honorable members, I think the question that was asked by Honorable Chair on the issue of the Commission report, let's go back to that. It's our responsibility to look on to that so that as we are acting, as we are communicating with the department and CCOG, we're able to do that. But I believe, and I think here, we will be doing all this. What we need is, and what needs to correct is the act. And we have got that responsibility in this 4 years, in this 10, so that we're able to stand up and take. But in between that, what is then going to be done? And the act, the work is communicating with people and trying to. We're happy that the department, the provinces are coming and sitting here and saying, we will make a follow up with those two persons that have committed themselves. Well, we must also monitor that commitment of on how consistent that communication, that commitment is, so that we're then able to. And take all the questions that we have asked in the same light that we're not trying to be trying to create a hostile and maybe, it's because half by its nature is emotive. And everything that has got to do with a life of a person, we're not going to be something, no way we do something, but I do think that actually in the presentation, in the camp, at least there is a gradual improvement, but there is still more work to be done, and together, and moving forward, together, in being committed together in this year of the future. I think we're not suggesting about this, we're going to do all that within that context, because we are public representatives of the Republic of South Africa. We may be coming from different political parties, we may have different political views and ideologies, we may have the policies, but in the standard is that we are public representatives of the Republic of South Africa, and therefore we have that responsibility of ensuring that change. And again, you are reminding us, in this stepping down, you are reminding us to go back to the act, so that we are then able to interact and clearly understand this and remind ourselves more. We've got a lot of task. The Department of Health is not all about this only. We have got a lot of task, but in between our work, we will have to try and reprioritize the issues that is, so that we are able to have a comprehensive program and a comprehensive function. And I'm sure through the Department of Health, we will then have also to go to the Department of Children to really move this joint portfolio committee meeting. It's not only about health, about labor, about money. It's also about children, because children must really tell us what is it. I was dreaming to want to show more than that we can swallow, but for the benefit of our people, I don't think we are asking too much, but really, in this 21st year, in moving forward, we are to do some of the things. In that, I don't think that we will then be at least taking the bait on. Marks and Moses Kotara, who were activists, who were in the sector, in particular mining. I want to, I just maybe there's no lunch today. So I want to, we're going to close the meeting so that members are able to get lunch if the door is open. We will communicate, please.